Welcome to The Current, a podcast produced by We Stand for Energy. We Stand for Energy is a community that supports a reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy future for everyone, and is a project of EEI, Edison Electric Institute, the National Trade Association representing U.S. investor-owned electric companies. My name is Christine Telford, Managing Director of External Affairs at EEI, and I am your host. Well, welcome everyone to this episode of The Current Podcast. I am excited because it is Hispanic Heritage Month, and I have Jose Perez, President and CEO of Hispanics and Energy. Jose, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me here.
So tell us more about Hispanics and Energy. What is its mission? How did you become involved in the organization? And what inspired you to take on the role of President and CEO?
Well, that's a really good question. I used to work closely with the California Public Utilities Commission, and I did some things with them over the course of about 10 years in the supplier diversity side, and created a group called the California Utilities Diversity Council. And it was so successful that we took the supplier spend from $1 billion to almost $10 billion in a span of 12 years. And so the president of the commission, Michael Peavy, liked everything we were doing, that he asked me to consider doing a national group. And so I created the National Utilities Diversity Council. And I operated it for 3 years, basically with the intent of duplicating what was going on in California. That got me exposed to the utility commissioners through a group called NARUC, National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners. And they called me about 12 years ago, one of them from Michigan, asking if we should consider creating a Hispanics in Energy, since they had gotten exposed to the American Association of Blacks in Energy. And they were very impressed with the work that they had done in building the community's presence in the energy sector. And they said, do we need to do a similar kind of activity? And so after about a year of thinking about it and considering it, I decided to go ahead and do this. And so it was actually the utility commissioners that inspired the idea in me. And then they helped me formulate it. I own a small business, and so I took resources from my business to pay for the initial foundation of the organization. And because you have to set up a 501c3 and submit a lot of documentation to all kinds of control agencies. And so we got our 501c3 and we're off and running. The initial organizing group were 4 people. And that was in 2012. And we're up to about, you know, we're about almost 11,000 people across the country now. And it's a national group. We started in Sacramento, California, but we operate in 23 states now. So we have found that the energy industry was, you know, very interested in having diversity of not just workforce, but contractors and just better connections so that they could be there, do their jobs more effectively in serving the ratepayers and the customers. And so it's been a very interesting journey. So we reshaped our board from 4 organizers to a board now. We've got 9 people. And our chairman is Joe Dominguez, who's the CEO of Constellation Energy. That company's a Fortune 100 company. And they also have the largest portfolio of nuclear power plants. And they're mostly a clean energy company. So it's kind of inspiring to have very profound leaders in this sector to be part of what we're doing. But we have a long way to go. We have 20% or so of America's population that's Latino. That translates to over 63 million people. When we started this group, there's 2,700 energy companies and no Hispanic CEOs 12 years ago. Today, we have about 13 of them. So we're making a little bit of progress. But, you know, if you try to do 20% of 2,700, you know, our numbers are way low still. So that presents an opportunity to try to figure out some solutions and do some strategic partnerships with people that can help develop leadership for executive level positions like that. So that are Latinos. Same thing with the workforce. You know, we found that for energy STEM, it's a challenge. And of course, procurement, contracting is an issue. And so we've been doing research, we've been doing partnerships, we've been doing all kinds of very interesting projects over the last almost 11 years now in November to try to come up with some good solutions. And so what inspired me to get into it? Well, I've always been kind of a problem solver. And I think I've always been kind of a, I think I started with a social justice kind of a perspective in engaging with just, you know, the industry that has gone from, at that time, it was like $1.5 trillion business. And it's probably closer to a $3+ trillion business now. And it's growing bigger because of the demand for electricity and energy is going up. And not just in this country, but around the globe. And so it's a really great sector to be in. So I have a lot to say. I mean, this is a topic that is, that's become really dear to me. And we've developed some very interesting relationships with some very interesting partners. I would say that everybody that we ask help from, we've been very lucky that nobody has ever said no. They probably said, you know, the timing for us is not correct, so let's do it at the right time. And so we calendar ourselves. But you know, it's been a really an amazing trip. We developed a very early relationship with ABE, the American Association of Blacks in Energy. In fact, they incubated us for 3 years. We did all our learning through them, and we did some projects jointly with them that we called Jobs in Energy. And there were forums that we did in 10 cities around the country. And that's how we got branded around the country. And so very successful ones, you know, they were in big cities like Denver. We had 400 people there. But the focus was on energy, even though it's a lot of it is still in the oil and gas part. We have lots of energy opportunities for jobs in the utilities and in the clean energy space, solar space and in wind farms. And so. So, you know, so we're, you know, very fortunate that we had an early relationship with ABE. We have similar relationships with Asians in Energy. In both in California, there's Asians in Energy there, and then there's Asians EC2, if I remember correctly. And then we also work closely with the National Tribal Energy Association, which is, they represent tribes. And we also work with Out in Energy. They're LGBTQ out of Washington. And so I think we've done a lot of work with Women in Energy, probably the largest groups out there. So we try to be engaged with community because we know that no community is an island by themselves. We really need to work with each other. So we focus on things like that. But that's what got me into this. That's how it got created and still inspired after 11 years. We just had a board retreat and our growth is almost completely secured for the future. And so we have a growing population. We have a growing part of the economy. There was a wonderful report that came out in Miami last week that shows the purchasing power for Latinos is now at $3.2 trillion, which means if it was its own GDP, its own country, Latinos in America are probably fifth largest economy in the planet. And so it's a tremendous number. And if you look at the country's economic growth, where there has been economic growth, it's driven by the Latino community. And so the future looks really good. It helps the Latino community be wealthy, and it also helps the country.
That is an amazing answer. And what one of the things I took away from that is that you are a very busy guy.
I'm still a father and I'm still a husband. So I try to balance it all out.
Fantastic. So Hispanic Heritage Month, it's a time to celebrate the achievements and contributions of the Hispanic community. In the energy sector, what are some notable contributions or innovations made by Hispanics that you believe deserve recognition?
Well, we have several, but let's begin with the initial CEOs that came into light in the last 12 years. The first Hispanic CEO in California was a guy by the name of Dennis Areola, and he was appointed CEO of Southern California Gas Company. And he was the first Latino CEO in California of a utility, and so also a dear friend. And Dennis he's an accountant, so he's a person that understands numbers. And so he used that to basically not only secure his role as an executive, but also secure the financial base of the mother company, Sempra Energy. And eventually he was moved up and he became kind of the financial strategic developer and planner for the parent company. And he executed tremendous growth for them. He was involved in a purchase of a energy company in Texas, and also was involved in acquiring energy assets from Central America and South America. So even though he didn't get a whole lot of play personally on that, you know, the company sure got a lot of play because its stock went up. And so we thought that that was a really big plus. And then we have the second person that got appointed CEO. This is like in this within a year, was Pedro Pizarro, who's now your chairman of EEI. And Pedro, I've knew Pedro since he was a vice president. And so it was kind of nice to see him just kind of develop. He's considered probably one of the foremost intelligent individuals, human beings in the energy sector. He really is one smart guy. And so he's a high profile. He speaks in very influential circles, not just within the EEI circle, but at CERAWeek. And, you know, he's considered the foremost thinker in the energy space. And then soon after Pedro, we were gifted during the early stages of HIE, we were gifted with the appointment of Geisha Williams, Latina, first Latina CEO of a utility up at PG&E in San Francisco. So within the first 2 years of the creation of Hispanics in Energy, we all of a sudden had three out of the four CEOs of investor-owned utilities in California that were led by Latinos, which is an incredible impact. We also had the first Hispanic woman appointed to the Public Utilities Commission, former Commissioner Catherine Sandoval, who is now a Biden appointee in Washington. You know, if we had like a list of superstar individuals, all of those would be included. And of course, now we have Joe Dominguez, who I mentioned earlier, is our chairman. When he took control of the company in February of last year, you know, I want to say the stock was running about $30 and now is running about $110 a share. So these folks are very successful in what they do, and they come in with very keen strategies that not only make money for the shareholders, but also benefit the ratepayers and the consumers and the workers, the contractors, and the people they associate with. So we have, you know, some really great minds in that circle. We also have Hispanic women that are creating a presence. Women in general are not readily found in the energy space, but we've got some that are coming up that are really stellar. Deanna Rodriguez out of Entergy in New Orleans comes to mind. She's been a speaker at one of our forums. She's a CEO there.
Deanna is also a former podcast guest. I would like to.
Oh, really?
She has been on this podcast before, so shout out to Deanna.
Yeah, she's a great lady. So we have some up-and-coming people that, you know, we're keeping a good eye on. We're also working on developing a bench for executive development. We're developing a bench for corporate board seats, which is something that we're very also interested in. And we are been encouraged, and we did a white paper on the need to increase the number of Hispanic utility commissioners. But in terms of, like, you know, who do we have out there to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month? I think all the ones that I mentioned have been tapped one way or the other as incredible profiles and role models that can be given to these 63 million Latinos to demonstrate that there are wonderful opportunities in the energy sector and that they too can be successful. So over at DOE, we've been working with the White House with some appointments. We were very happy with Dr. Zach Valdez, a young fellow, PhD, who's kind of taking the whole organization in the right place and developing an excellent reputation of a person that knows not only how to do incredible analytics, but can come up with some very sound strategies to effectively implement programs. His side of the shop, they're in the business of implementing about $10 billion out of the IRA money. And, you know, we're very happy with the things that he's doing right there. And a lot of these new folks coming into government are thinking out of the box, which we encourage them to do, because that's what you have to do when the government hasn't quite kept up with the changes in the demographics, like in our community. And so consequently, if you don't have people that are willing to try something new, you know, it's going to be really hard to be inclusive. And so, and we have Fred Flafle, who's, you know, born in Mexico, is now a U.S. citizen and a very successful executive also at the Department of Energy. So we have, you know, we have small numbers, but they're people with the right skills, with intent to try to figure out how to open up more opportunities for others to participate in some of the things that they do. The work in front of us is very, very daunting. And if it wasn't friends like, you know, Kwame Kanti and before him, David Owens. David Owens was actually one of our early mentors. And Brian, who we spoke of earlier, you know, if it wasn't for these folks, you know, the banks and energy would not be where it is today, and we would not be able to enjoy the Hispanic Heritage Month participation as much as we do.
Great. That is great. And I'm familiar with many of the CEOs and leaders you mentioned. They are extraordinary at, again, being leaders within their companies. So I'm glad you were able to highlight them. For the young Hispanic community who may be interested in pursuing a career in the energy sector, what opportunities and pathways are available to them? And what advice do you have for those looking to enter this industry?
That's a really good question. So our goal, our mission is real simple, and that is to increase Hispanic participation in the energy sector. And in every subsector of energy has varying amounts of participation. What we find in the workforce is that the lower paying jobs, vocational occupations, the entry level are where Latinos have the presence. In fact, if you look at the pipelines, you know, for companies that have natural gas, if you look at the utility workers that are climbing poles and things like that, you know, Latinos move in that direction. We have a very high workforce participation rate. And so many of our young people that choose not to go to college, that choose crafts and trades occupations, you know, the industry offers some outstanding opportunities. And so recently we created a relationship. In fact, our newest partner is LIUNA, the Labor International Union of North America. And they have 500,000 members. And the reason they joined us is they tell me, look, Jose, you know, our rank and file is increasingly more and more Hispanic. And then as they come onto the rank and file, they're electing business managers that are Latinos. And so and the business managers are the ones that control the unions at the state level. So they say, look, it's just a natural thing for us to collaborate and do things together, which we've begun doing. And so we've done, I don't know, four or five projects here this year together. So what we find is that we don't have to do anything for the lower level occupations. Our sheer numbers are so huge that it's taking care of itself. And in our population, number one, likes to move location. They will go from Texas to North Dakota for a good job, or they'll go from California to Vermont for a good job. Other communities won't do that. Our community loves to do that. Our community loves to work. And those jobs, like with LIUNA's group, they start them off at about $42 an hour. And that includes the benefits and everything that goes into a job. And so believe it or not, those jobs are really good paying jobs for our community as compared to some of the things that they were doing before they got in there. For the other areas like the engineering and science, the analytics, you know, it's the representation is not that good. So what we did is we partnered with HACU, which is the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities, and they represent 573 Hispanic serving institutions that educate 3.5 million Hispanic kids every year throughout the country. The greatest number of Hispanic serving institutions are in California. And the way the government defines a Hispanic serving institution is that they have to demonstrate they have 25% Hispanic enrollment in their student body in order to get that designation. When they get that designation, the federal government gives them access to extra money. It's not like grants. They still have to apply for the money, but the money is available. And many of the institutions do take advantage of it. What we have found is that both our federal government and the energy industry really knows very little to nothing about that circle right there. And so what we did is we did a resolution for NARUC, which NARUC adopted at their board of directors, to encourage utility commissioners to use their convening power to have utility CEOs meet with Hispanic serving institution executives to talk about how they could partner at the local level, at the state level, to increase the number of energy STEM graduates that come not only from the Latino community, but from the Black community. You know, we need more girls in there, tribal communities. And these schools are all inclusive. It's not just Latinos. In fact, there's more African Americans that get educated through Hispanic serving institutions than they do through HBCUs. Same thing with tribal students. So they're very diverse institutions in general. So they, you know, it's a really great place to have like a one-stop shop where you can work with them. And so the key for young people really is to get the exposure. What we find is that if they go out and do an internship program or they get exposed to somebody who's doing energy, that's probably the line that they're going to follow because they got exposed to it. They've seen it. They feel it. It feels good. They know the incredible service that energy brings to a household or to a hospital or to a school and the key role that it plays in society. And they like that. They also like the idea of helping an environment or creating energy and deploying it in a fashion that's clean and it's environmentally sensitive and it doesn't make people sick. So young people, they get incentivized when they get exposed to it. But if they don't get exposed to it, you know, it's really hard to explain to them how cool it is.
Right.
So we find that making investment with Hispanic serving institutions is the key for us. But every major state that has a significant Latino population, and that includes California, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Florida, New York, Illinois, Connecticut, and then Georgia, North Carolina has a developing Latino population. I mean, the numbers are growing everywhere, but, you know, those are like the states with the highest numbers. And they all have Hispanic serving institutions. And it's amazing how many of our friends in the industry don't even know about those guys. And so a lot of it is just, you know, communicating to our friends in the executive ranks in our utilities that resource exists there. And of course, ratepayers, you know, they're becoming more wise. They're trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, we're making an investment in our utility company. You know, how successful are we at getting a return on our investment? You know, are they hiring us? Are they doing business with us? Can my kid be an intern in their operation? Can I be involved in, you know, the administration and management of their company? You know, I pay for it. So, you know, everybody knows that they get a bill, but very few know what the opportunities are. So it's something for us that, you know, it gives us a lot of work, but it is a labor of love. But it'd be nice to solve some of these things and go on to other things.
Sure, sure. Labor of love for sure. Can you highlight any partnerships or collaborations Hispanics in Energy has established with companies, educational institutions, or other organizations to promote diversity and create more opportunities for Hispanics in the energy field?
Absolutely. We have several, but the one that comes to mind quickly is Dominion Energy. They were very interested in increasing their Hispanic workforce. So they have very different geographical demographics. They made a $25 million commitment to HBCUs, and they said, well, you know, we really hadn't done anything with HSIs. So we introduced them to the HSIs in Haku. Last year, they made a $2 million grant to Haku. And they are working with 8 Hispanic serving institutions to basically tailor make the skill sets that they want in their workforce so that those graduates and are more competitive in trying to get a job at their organization. That seems to be going really well. They're looking at increasing the investment in that. Similar, we have Exelon. Exelon is another one that has taken great interest in this, you know, Hispanic serving institution arena. And so, so far, I would say that about half of our members' workforce seems to be its number one priority. So everything we've built with Hispanic serving institutions in Haku is an added, you know, it's an added value in our relationship with them. The second one is supplier diversity. We have an MOU with the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and we're actually in the process of building Hispanic businesses that are capable of being competitive for opportunities in the energy sector. We've got 2 companies that just recently developed. One is still in progress that can do manufacturing of solar panel manufacturing, which is, you know, very rare. And we have financial access to try to get these companies up and running to do at the scale that is going to be necessary to be competitive. We have 2 energy storage, battery storage companies that are led by Latinos. One of them used to work for Tesla for 7 years. has his own company in the Bay Area. The other one is out of New Jersey. And that guy's really young. He's got a PhD out of MIT, and their company is doing about $600 million a year right now. It feels good to be able to create things that didn't exist before. And a lot of young people are the ones that are taking advantage of being the innovators and the thinkers of new ways of doing things. And they're smart enough to not only put the manufacturing part of the piece together, but the financing and the regulatory. So those are the two areas that we have found a lot of, not a lot, but some success. So we work very closely with the natural gas industry. And so we're into pipelines, and we're into, well, gas companies, the PG&Es of the world, El Paso Gas, etc. There's a lot of space where there could be a lot of collaboration between industry and the growing Hispanic community. If you look at the numbers of the kids, it's 25% K-12 now in America. So in order for utilities to, you know, not only keep up with the changing demographics and the economy, but at some point in time, they realize that they're going to have to make an investment in the Latino community. And so we're here as a resource to try to help them, to try to, you know, promote inclusion and to assure their success. And so our partnerships, we try to figure out exactly what their immediate needs are, or sometimes what their long-term needs are. And we can be a valuable asset in trying to figure out solutions for that.
Great. Well, I've learned a lot in our time together, but I do have one more question for you, Jose. Yeah. How can listeners get involved or support the cause of Hispanics in Energy?
Well, you can go to our website, and we have a great resource in there. If you go to About Hispanics in Energy at our website, which is hispanicsinenergy.com. We don't do the .org thing because we're more business-oriented. And so you'll find the annual report we just published last year, our 2022. We're getting ready to publish our 2023, but it tells you the activities and things that we're doing. So whether it's advocacy, whether it's a career development for employees who are already working in energy, but they're looking to move up the organization, training. We have our formula now for creating state chapters. We have our first chapter being announced here pretty soon in Virginia. So we also are engaged with the government. We have activities that our members can get engaged with. We also have a presence in Puerto Rico. So there's many ways to engage with us. Our website is a key place to start. You know, we welcome all. You don't have to be Latino to be part of this. Even though we're Hispanics, we're white, we're African Americans, we're Asians, we come in all colors and all shapes and all nationalities. You know, we're very inclusive. We work well with everybody. And, you know, we try to make sure that our casa is su casa. And happy Hispanic Heritage Month.
Happy Hispanic Heritage Month. Well, thank you, Jose, for taking the time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
We hope that you found this to be an informative 15 minutes, and we look forward to bringing you additional expert insights on energy policy. To learn more about EEI and the electric power industry, visit www.eei.org. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast by searching for The Current and We Stand for Energy.